On today's episode, we're going to be talking about the dog training industry and the red flags to look out for when you're trying to find your dog trainer. So there's a lot out there. There's a lot of trainers. There's hundreds probably in your city, thousands if you look at the ones that have online courses, thousands of social media accounts of dog trainers. Everyone is saying similar things or different things. So it can become very hard to like find the right trainer for you. So we're going to talk about the red flags and the things that you should be like watching for when you are trying to find your trainer. So one of the first ones is that the dog training industry is not regulated. So, I mean, we both know that, which we didn't know that actually when we first got Maple.
No, I think it's a big misconception out there. Everyone seems to believe that, you know, that there's a university you have to go to or like you have to have some certain types of, you know, qualifications to become a dog trainer, but which is not true.
No.
Everyone watching this video, you can be a dog trainer. You can create a website. You can have social media. Yeah. You can start creating content and call yourself a dog trainer.
And charge people. And it's that simple. I read this funny article and it was saying like your hairdresser, for example, has more hoops to jump through to cut your hair than someone who wants to train dogs. And that's something you need to be aware of. Yeah, there are like online schools or certifications that you can get that help. But again, they're not regulated. There is no like.
Yeah,
you have to have this license.
So those courses were probably designed by dog trainers themselves, right?
Well, they were. Yeah.
They were very successful at what they were doing. They decided to create a course, which is exactly what anyone can do.
Yeah, exactly.
It just depends whether one course is highly respected because someone has been highly successful at their craft or whatever, or you're just a nobody doing a course,
exactly.
Right?
And so that's something to look out for. So just because someone doesn't have any official certifications doesn't mean they're a bad trainer, or they might say they have certifications or whatever, but they're fake. And if someone's trying to fake it, that's probably the red flag. I think that was the point of the not regulated. It's like, I think I'd rather have someone that's honest and upfront and say like, hey, you know, but then some people don't like that. It's like, I've worked with dogs my whole life. Well, it doesn't mean you're a good trainer. It just means you're good with your own dogs.
Well, that's the thing. Like, it's to talk about experience and like knowledge, right? Yeah. Like what's more important. And it just depends on what you're trying to teach
your dog. Yes.
Like you can have plenty of experience, but not really like the textbook knowledge, right?
You can do a puppy class, but you've never had a puppy yourself. But you've just learned like the basics on how to teach a dog to sit and stay and drop it and leave it and all of that. But you've always had older rescues. So it's like, that's a bit more of like, have you dealt with a puppy? Are you kidding me? So it just depends. And so
I feel like someone with experience can definitely be a good dog trainer without qualifications. But I'm also not discrediting the fact that if you do have qualifications, that's good for you because that means that you are taking proactive interest.
Well, I think you're a bit more serious. Like you're spending money to learn. And I think no matter what industry you're in or what job you do, you need to learn.
Yeah.
You need to kind of invest in yourself by maybe learning these things and maybe learning more behavioral things or something like that instead of just like the basics of, I know how to teach a dog to do all the basic commands, so I'm a trainer. I mean, I could be a trainer.
You could do a course, right? I think some of these courses are actually not so hard from what I read on the internet. It's just like, you know, A, B, C, or D, and some of this stuff is pretty common sense. But because you passed a test or whatnot doesn't mean you are qualified in certain areas of dog training.
Yeah.
I don't think you can be a really good dog trainer to do with like reactivity or aggression or whatever, if you have never actually dealt with a dog
or had a dog. So I think that's just, there's one thing to look out for is just, it's not regulated. So as much as someone might list all of these qualifications, it technically still doesn't mean everything. It means something, but not everything. So that's that point. So
what I believe anyway. Yeah.
What's another red flag that you think?
Well, to me, a red flag is somebody, like if I'm looking for a dog trainer.
You're smiling. This is going to be, what is this? What are we getting to? Uh-oh.
If I'm looking for a dog trainer, I feel like I just need to really like the person.
Okay.
Right. Like I don't, like the person needs to be able to communicate with me properly, be honest about my progress, be honest about my dog. I just need to really like them as a person. I need to be able to respect them. Yeah.
So what about though, like when people look for trainers, they don't know the person. So how do you like somebody if you've never met them before?
You need to meet up with them and you need to do a meet and greet. You need to read up on them. You need to read the reviews. If a dog trainer, for instance, has reviews, and especially the negative reviews, you need to really look at the negatives and how does that dog trainer respond to these negative reviews. Because if they're being passive aggressive and not really taking in the negative reviews and what people are saying. Or like
understanding it.
And really trying to be somewhat helpful, or like understanding that not everyone will be happy with the services that they provide in or whatever. You know, it's just being like a good human being and kind of, if someone's just being an a-hole, basically, on the internet, then I probably wouldn't want to deal with them because they clearly have attitude issues. So, you know.
That's true. Well, I mean, it's the same as anything. Like, and you're paying these people. You're paying these people. If you don't like them, if you don't get along, if you don't agree with them, then don't pay them, as in leave or whatever you need to do. And check social media too. Check
like their, that and don't is just so like look important. At
their videos or pictures. See comments. See what people say. See how they do things. I know social media is
constantly like argumentative on the internet. Like, do I really want to have a dog trainer who will constantly argue and challenge?
Well, then you feel like you can't like basically like give like speak up or whatever.
Like, I can't speak up and I can't really, we can't have a relationship.
Because you don't want the confrontation.
I feel like dog training is like you need to have a relationship with the dog trainer. First and foremost. So if that person is not able to accept criticism or is not able to work with me rather than just tell me what to do, then that is a red flag to me.
That's true. Yeah, that's an important one. I mean, that should be like anything in life. If you don't like somebody, then don't work with them. We'll move on to another one. So one is another one. And this is if you've ever trained your own dog or you have a dog and you've tried to train your dog, you would understand this, but a dog trainer that has guarantees, guarantee that your dog will do this or be this type of dog when you're done, or that's that's not possible.
I hate that. Because, I find it so phony and like fake.
Yeah. And you never know, like just because one dog can learn something in a day, the other dog might take a month.
It's like, okay, you don't even know my dog.
So how can you guarantee that my dog will stop being reactive? Now, obviously, puppy classes, it's also what you put in. They can be like, oh, I guarantee that your dog will be able to leave it. And it's like, but then if you don't ever practice at home, then well, it's your own fault as well. But still, nobody can say they guarantee that. Like, it's just not a thing because you never know. You never know the situation outside of the training class or whatever. So, or even if it's an online course, how can they guarantee? Because they're not even there instructing you.
Yeah.
Which is probably even a bigger red flag if it's an online course and they guarantee something. Because they're not even there to see what you're doing.
It's like, I guarantee your dog will stop barking or like stop being reactive to this and that. And it's like, you don't know me. You don't know my dog. How can you guarantee anything? There's no guarantees ever.
It's just a sales pitch and it's just trying to get your money. And like, and I'm not saying, we're not saying they're bad trainers, but just like, question it. Just question it. Be like, what do you mean? What does that mean? Guarantee. And they might have just been like, oh, all of our dogs so far have been able to do it. Okay, well, that still doesn't mean mine will.
My dog is different.
Exactly.
My dog doesn't have brain cells, okay?
My dog is deaf.
I will challenge you. Yeah.
So that's a big one. I mean, I know a lot of other industries you can say that, but in the dog training industry, that's something you can't.
I don't think you can ever say you guarantee something.
No, it's like satisfaction guaranteed, I think. It's
like over-promising.
We guarantee you will be satisfied with our services. But then that's like money back guarantee. If you're not satisfied, we'll give you a refund.
I feel like maybe that should be a thing.
Yeah.
In dog training industry. So a lot of the time when you commit yourself to dog training program, they never give you money back.
That's true. Because you're like taking a spot. And then it's like, well, if you, you know, we don't want to.
Because not all dog trainers are like 100% transparent in exactly what methods they use. You don't know if you're going to come to your first class and be like, I hate it.
This is not for me.
This is not for me.
This training method
like maybe
or whatever.
There should be like trial period.
Like, and we're not even saying like bad trainers.
It's one class is for free, you know, if you like, come over to a second class. Yeah. Maybe that's just the way to like establish that relationship.
It's not a yoga studio. But I know what you mean. You have a point though. But some people might take advantage of that, which is maybe why they don't do that. Or a lot of trainers, they're fighting for the clientele. So they don't want to offer that because then they're like a spot being taken up that could have been for someone else. So that one's a hard one. It would be nice.
I also think that, so a lot of dog trainers, when you do one-on-one sessions, they will do like meet and greet with the clients.
Oh, yeah.
That's to like meet you and like see how you interact with your dog to establish exactly what the issue is and things like that. That's a big green flag. That's not what we're going to talk about here, but I'm just saying, you know, that's kind of good in terms of how dog training should
If they don't want to do that, that's a red flag. Yeah. If they're like, nope, you got to pay before I even see you. It's like, no.
So, yeah,
there you go.
A deposit for something you can't promise.
As long as it's refundable, then that could be okay.
Yeah.
But yeah. Another red flag?
Another red flag.
Another red flag, yep.
Is a dog trainer that can't really adapt.
Yes.
Right, to a dog that they have in front of them. So it's kind of like, you know, when dog trainers have border collies.
Yes.
And they have taught their border collies all these wonderful
things. How to
do
backflips.
Because border collies will learn things in one day, you know, like they're just...
1 hour.
I mean, I'm not saying border collies are like, you know, they're intelligent dogs.
Yeah, of course.
It's an intelligent breed. And hence why a lot of dog trainers do have border collies. Yeah. And that is actually a proven fact because every single dog trainer that I've ever spoken to, they have a border collie.
That's true. Yeah. It might have not been their first dog, but they still have one at some point.
Yeah. So for a dog trainer to like be able to adapt their knowledge and their skills to for instance, a dog that's a little bit more sensitive, like a dog taller, right?
Yeah. Or a dog that's shy.
Yeah, or a shy dog, or someone who's a little bit more fearful, or maybe like a pit bull, right? Yeah. Who's got tendencies with aggression and things. Like someone who is not, like, knows just one way and one way only. Yeah. And this is how we're going to teach everybody everything. Yeah. Like, to me, that's a red flag.
And on that, actually, and it's not always just like a dog that's struggling. Another thing on that topic of adaptability, if your dog is a smarter dog, like the border collie, and you're in with like the dogs that are a little bit slower and your dog's picking it up faster, are they giving you like advanced things?
Yeah.
And I know we've done classes where like Maple kind of picks it up really fast. So they're like, okay, you can work on this now. And see, now that's good because now we're not sitting there
stuck
waiting.
In that one level,
Or just that one trick, like when we were like teaching her center. Whatever. And it's like, okay, she could do that. No problem. Go further away, add a distraction, whatever it is. It's not just like, all right, good. You just wait until the rest of the class gets it. This is a like classroom environment. So I think in that sense of adaptability of like, not like letting you or you as a team kind of to progress. So.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That's important.
Yeah. That was
because
something I just thought of.
Because I don't want to, you know, or for instance, you go to a training class and your dog kind of knows half of it already, but you kind of want to build on those skills.
Yeah.
You know, a dog trainer, that's a good dog trainer. They should be able to tell me, kind of evaluate where I'm at with my dog currently and be able to advise me how I can go from there.
Yeah.
Not be like, oh, this is just a curriculum that we have. These are the tick boxes that you have to do to be able to pass this class. And that's all we're going to do. Yeah. We're going to stick to the strict thing and we're not going to divert from that at all.
Yeah.
To me, that's also like a massive red flag because I don't want to, you know, be stuck at that one level.
Well, of course. Yeah. It's not like it's a waste of money, but it is at the end of the day. It's like, I'm above this, so like, or be, you know, not above this, like better than the rest of you, but you've worked. That's what we do. We work with Maple in between classes and all of that, so we can kind of progress a bit faster. But that's what we want to do, though. So that's a big one. Another red flag, if they offer or push a service called board and train.
Yeah.
So do you want to explain, I guess, what board and train is?
A board and train is basically when a dog trainer takes your dog away from you, usually for extended amount of time. So for a week or up to, I don't know, a month maybe.
Yeah. And like full time.
Yeah.
Like 24 hours a day.
Yeah. But also I've learned there's something that you can do. So the dog trainer takes your dog Monday to Friday, and then weekends they get at home.
Oh,
so
that's also, I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah, that's also a possibility. I guess it depends because, you know, dog training industry is not regulated.
Yeah, they can do whatever they want.
You can, you know, have 3 days on, three days off if you really want to. And so, yeah, the dog trainer takes your dog away from their natural environment, which is their home.
Yeah.
And they claim to train them this whole time, right? Or work on specific problems or issues that this dog may have.
And that's when people would do board and train. It's normally not used for like the basic obedience kind of basic stuff. It's more of like
normally,
my dog is pulling on the leash all the time on walks where they're constantly barking or they're whatever, destroying furniture and I don't know.
Normally people decide to do this when they really have like a nightmare dog. Mm-hmm. Like not always, but usually that's normally because it's so expensive to do board and train. Like I'm talking thousands of dollars it costs to have your dog with a professional trainer working them allegedly 24/7. It's a very expensive commitment. So people only do it when they really have to.
So right? Why is it bad? Why is board and train not good? Not a good thing.
I think it's a very passive method of training your dog. It's kind of being like, hey, I can't do it. Here's my dog. You fix him.
Yes, which does just, if anyone has owned a dog, you should know that's not how it works. If you don't know, well, now you do.
Yeah. And also, so that's the first thing. It's a very passive method. It's a very kind of like, you deal with it and then come back being fixed and, you know, everything's going to be hunky-dory, which is not reality because that's also coming back to a point of guarantees, which is never guaranteed that they're actually going to be able to fix those problems. And the second point is you are taking that dog from the natural environment and from the people that they should actually live with, right?
Well, listen to, learn from.
Yeah. So the problem with that is that dog normally will behave differently outside of their house. Yeah. So when the dog trainer takes them away from home and the dog parent is not there to supervise and to watch and learn of how this dog trainer is working the dog, how are they meant to take those skills from the board and train situation back to the house?
Well, and that's the biggest thing. It's like you as the, like training is just as much about training the human and the dog parent, if not more than it is the dog. So cool. I can stop your dog from pulling on the leash when I walk the dog, but as soon as it comes back to you, you haven't learned what I know to continue that. Because just because your dog knows something of you doesn't mean they'll like relapse and do it again or not do whatever.
You know, sometimes you can put the dog through board and train for 2 weeks and then the dog trainer will tell you, oh yes, we have worked on this and that. Your dog has worked perfectly well with me. All these issues are resolved. Then the dog goes back to their house and they just go back to how they were behaving because one, the dog parent doesn't know how to train their dog still. And two, you know, it's they just used to their home, right?
Well, and then another bad thing about that too is you don't know what they're doing.
Yes,
you don't know what type of training method. You don't know if they're using force, if they're using punishment, because you just spent a lot of money. They need to show results, and some trainers will do what
and
it
I'm
takes
sorry, but
to show results.
Positive training, I don't think you can achieve those results that quickly.
No, you cannot. That's like this. We had an episode. Well, most of our episodes, we always talk about how long everything takes and how patient you need to be and how proactive you need to be.
Yeah.
So, and that's the thing. And they won't show you that. They won't tell you that. So then they're learning through force or punishment or negative whatever.
You don't know.
And so that's why. So then when your dog comes back home to you and you're not using that force or that negative or that punishment, they're not going to learn.
Confused. Yeah. Like, what the hell just happened? Like, where did I go?
So yeah, I think that's like probably the biggest thing out of all of that is not that your dog will forget. It's like, you don't know what your dog is going through and that could affect them in the long term, for the rest of their lives.
Especially if that trainer has other dogs with them as well. You know, they can't focus all their attention on your dog. Yeah. And you would think that if you're paying so much money for it, you'd think that, you know, your dog is getting all the attention and affection and also training at the same time, which might not be true. Yeah.
So, I mean, if a trainer offers it, it doesn't mean like that trainer is a bad trainer, but if they're pushing that service, that's the red flag more than anything.
Yeah.
Just because they're offering it doesn't mean they actually do it. It's just a lot of trainers offer all sorts of things because they're like, well, since I do this, I can do this and I can do this. So don't leave that if they offer that as a, if they offer board and train as an, oh, this trainer is bad. It just means that like side of it might be not for you.
I don't think like a trainer can really fix a dog through that board and train method, because I really truly believe that you as a dog owner should know all these things and you should be passed on the knowledge and you should be really physically proactively involved in training your dog and not just sending it off to a boarding school.
I guess it's boarding school, like for kids, like you deal with the problem. Yeah. So let's move on to another red flag. So a next one.
Yeah. So another red flag to me personally.
Not to me. No, I'm just kidding.
Not to you. I mean, it might not be to you. We don't agree on everything.
That's true. That's very true.
It's like this extremist values and beliefs about certain things.
Oh, yeah. No, I agree with that. So
some dog trainers are like full on, you know, positive reinforcement trainers. And like, I personally believe sometimes they take it too far.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, it's all about perception.
Yes.
Of what you think something is aversive towards your dog or not. Like, for instance, to me, if my dog is jumping on me and I'm trying to teach it not to jump on me, and if I just like stick my hands like this.
Like in the way, just in block a way them.
To block them from jumping on me. To me, that is not aversive.
No, but some of the extreme views think it is, because it's like, well, you are using your hand to force your dog to stop jumping. And I'm like, we're not hitting, we're not pushing. It's just like, don't jump. So like, if you're jumping now, you got to go all the way around my hand, which makes it harder, so you won't. And it's like, they'll jump into your hand and boop their nose. And it's like, well, it's no different than your dog running on a hardwood floor and sliding into the wall by accident. It's like, why would you have that wall there? How dare you have that wall? Your dog just got injured. You are a terrible person for letting your dog run in a house with a wall. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, it's stupid.
Yeah.
Just straight stupid.
And like some dog trainers out there, they believe that you should never apply pressure on the leash because that's technically correction. Now to me, I don't think that's wrong.
No,
correct my dog.
And then again, this is our opinion. But when we talk about red flags with trainers, it's like if they think that like you can't do anything like that, it's like then you're not going to succeed. Your dog is going. That could be you got to keep paying. You got to keep seeing me because this is going to take longer.
Like 5 years to teach my dog how to loose leash. Walk next to me because I'm not allowed to use leash pressure.
Yeah, but like one of the biggest things to do loose leash walking is like when your dog is pulling, you turn around and go the other way, which means now you're pulling your dog for like maybe a second.
Yeah. Like you're not hurting your dog.
And so most people are fine and that's okay. And that's fine. And this is the red flag. If you have a trainer that is like, no, and I know the positive reinforcement.
Also the word no.
Oh yeah.
Bad.
I know. Yeah, people that say that. And it's just like, we know the positive reinforcement, like we totally agree in positive reinforcement training. And that's great. And that's great that movement is going. But just like anything in life, there are the very, very extreme views. Mm. Just like there's the extreme people that only use force. They still believe in like literally disciplining your dog. And that's obviously a massive, that should be a common sense red flag. But you also remember that the people that are like on the extreme end of positive, to me, that's a red flag because it's like, how much can you really accomplish?
Yeah.
And how do you get past when they're not listening or repeat behaviors. And yeah, cool. They like to be rewarded, but every once in a while they just don't listen.
Yeah.
And again, you don't punish them, but it's like, and also if your dog is like, training's fine, everything's cool, it's a calm environment, and all of a sudden your dog is like super excited, and that's when they start jumping.
Yeah.
Just that day. And it's like, no matter what you say, they're not listening because they're just so overly aroused and you just want them to stop. And yeah, there's all sorts of methods. I'm not saying use your hand, but people need to realize like there are other ways that are 90% positive.
And that's what's important is that communication, like what are you comfortable with? Yeah. What are you not comfortable with? And, you know, like today, for instance, I have a very good example. Okay. So I have recorded a video of, you know, there's a question going around, how do I stop my puppy from puppy biting?
Yeah.
Recorded a video of kind of demonstrating how we did it.
Yes.
So we did it in a way that we would squeal at Maple whenever she would bite us, because to us, it was kind of like a normal, that's how dogs play and set boundaries puppies, to themselves, right? A dog bites another dog a little bit too hard. They don't like it.
They like yelp, squeal, yelp, whatever.
Yeah. Backs away, right? That comment was removed from the positive reinforcement training group.
Was it actually removed?
Yes.
Sorry, I'm only, because you told me about that. I wasn't home, but like that was today. And it actually got removed.
Yeah.
Why?
The reason is because they only use fearless. Basically, to them, it was an aversive method.
Well, because you startled her. Because I saw the video. Yeah. Because it's on our YouTube. It's not on this account. It's literally one of the shorts. So go and watch it. Seriously. It's like common sense.
Yeah.
And I watched it and Maple was like a bit like, just like if a loud noise. What if, thunder. Oh, you can't live anywhere that has thunder because that startles
to
your
me,
dog.
That's an extremist.
I can't believe you never told. This is ridiculous.
It's an extremist.
I'm like angry now.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? It got removed.
Yes.
Because you startled
be
your
helpful.
Dog.
Yes.
Oh my. Well, your dog, our dog. I'm like, I can't believe that.
It's an extreme view. Because like, so are you saying when dog and dog play together and one yelps, that's aversive?
Yeah.
That's
so
not
what do you
acceptable?
Do with the dog that yelped? I guess, well, you can't discipline them. Like, oh my goodness.
It just kind of blew my mind.
I didn't know this happened. I know
I'm
you
literally
you did a video
replicating the behavior that a dog would do in its natural habitat.
There's so many good resources and you and trainers that are like really good books, all
but
of that that say that. And they're 5 years old. Maybe this YouTube video is 4 years old. This book was 5 years old. And that's the problem. It's, and this is like the extreme, I can't believe that extreme view. That to me is the massive red flag. It's like, you're not using common sense.
Yeah, you tell me, if you don't squeal and like set that boundary with your dog, like, no, this is not acceptable. And then your dog backs away and then you reward that behavior for them to acknowledge the boundary that we have here. Because, you know, we believe in positive reinforcement. So at the end of the day, like I will reward the behavior that I like. You know, how is this aversive?
Or how like, do you get a dog to stop, a puppy to stop biting you? You pull your hand, and I was like, well, pull your hand away. And it's like, yeah, but to now they're playing chase.
Now they're playing chase.
Or they're biting hard enough and you pull your hand away and you just, it just like, it goes with you. A little bit of a rip kind of thing.
Yeah.
And now you're hurt. So I can't, I'm sorry. I'm just like lost for words.
I mean, obviously I kind of exaggerated the video because I wanted her to drop that thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
And she's well trained now. Yeah. And I know you had that little disclaimer saying like that.
Yeah, we don't use it anymore. Because
as a puppy, that's what you do because that's how they learn. And there's so many like actual, and when we go to, you know, when we were talking about certification and trainers that are like, you know, the best in the industry, the most famous, the most popular, the most well-trained in the world.
Yeah.
That say, this is what you do. But then all of a sudden you have somebody, and that's the problem with asking things on Facebook. Do not ask things on Facebook groups, to be perfectly honest.
Because you're trying to be helpful. You're trying to actually give people an answer to a problem that will solve the problem. And you get a backlash.
Well, no, it's like the cancel culture.
Yeah.
It's like, we don't like this because it's not our extreme belief. So you're not allowed to get the message across. And unfortunately, that happens a lot. And there's been like trainers that have been discredited just because of a tiny little movement on the internet, even though they're like so good. But nobody, that's stupid. There you go. Extreme beliefs. I'm angry.
I'm not that angry because I was shocked.
I think I was more shocked probably.
That it got removed because I thought it was actually pretty helpful. Even though the video was a little bit exaggerated because, you know, I could
It was exaggerated with the noise.
Yes.
Like, what happens if a
car... It actually sounded a lot louder because my phone was right by my face.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess it was louder on the phone than it was for her because, she was a bit further away from you.
Yeah, you probably wouldn't do it as loud with a puppy. But, still, it's... I don't think...
And so, there's your red flag, the extreme views. Because, I hope you watching this, listening to this... realize, that makes sense. But if you have those trainers that say, no, that's not allowed, you don't want them as a trainer.
Yeah. But there's also the other side of the spectrum. So, we are talking about the positive reinforcement, extreme views, but there's also extreme views in terms of people believing that you need to be the alpha.
Yeah, that's true.
And you need to be dominating over your dog.
And you
have to use the prongs and slips and electric collars and things like that. So that's the other spectrum of the extreme views, which... are also bad, obviously. Yeah. That is also a red flag.
Yeah, yeah.
I think if you're looking for a good dog trainer, they have to meet you somewhere in the middle. Yeah.
But it depends on your dog and what you want out of them. If you just want this little couch potato pet, you're not going to use these extreme aversive methods. And that's why a lot of people say, don't go with ex-police trainer, police dog trainers, because to train a police dog, it is a lot different than training a little Maltese or Cavapoo or whatever.
Well, yeah.
And so that's what it is. If you want a really high adrenaline sport dog, you're not going to find the person with the lap dog to train you kind of thing. You want the person that knows how to deal with that high energy.
Yeah, and
so
how to control
if you have a
dog.
Crazy, and that's when we talk about aggressive. If you have an aggressive dog, there's still positive ways and you're going to try those, but sometimes they don't work.
Yeah.
Or sometimes you need a little bit.
What if the positive training fails you, right? What if that dog is not food motivated?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's
what
a big
if
one.
They're not toy motivated? I feel like there's a natural kind of progression to your training that a trainer should be aware of, right? We're going to start with these softer methods. We're going to see how it goes. We're going to, see if we are achieving the goals that we have set out to achieve. Mm-hmm. And then we kind of going to go from there. Yeah. We're not going to go straight into electric car.
Well, and that's the red flag. If they're relying on the tools to complete the training, that's not a good thing. Then you're not training the human. You're not training the dog. You're not training the human. You're literally using tools to train your dog, not you as an owner.
Well, if you are involved in certain activities where you actually genuinely think that an e-collar would benefit you and your dog, do seek that trainer that will be able to teach you how to use that tool properly, right? But, if you're just teaching your puppy to sit, stand, and not be reactive towards the environment, to be neutral, you're not going to put an electric collar on them. It's just common sense.
You're not going to put a prong collar on them. You're not going to put, if you have a, And I think that's when we go back to the adaptability point is as a trainer, if you have the extreme views, you're not adaptable. You're just this is the only way to train your dog. And that's red flag. Whether it's only way is through aversive and negative things, or the only way is the extreme positivity of don't even use the word no.
Exactly. Don't put your hand out. Don't, just let your dogs run wild and hope for the best because you're treating them constantly.
So the last red flag we want to talk about, and I want to just say something based on your story, is the lack of experience. So this is a big one. And again, this is depending on what type of training you want. So just for that example you talked about, it was the video and how it got removed. Mm. We don't know who removed it, whether it was a moderator or an admin. But this person that removed it, I'm going to just straight up assume does not have experience.
Yeah.
Because if you remove something like yelping or making a high-pitched noise for a half a second to stop your puppy from biting you, then you don't have experience with dogs. Like I'm straight up, like you don't. Or your one dog that you had didn't have that problem. Like that's, and so that's a red flag just on, that was an example right there. But it is the lack of experience. And that's the lack of experience if you're trying to train, you're doing a fly ball class, you're doing agility class, and that trainer hasn't gone to the top level of agility or hasn't competed in that level of agility. And they just learned how to teach it through a course. That to me, I don't want to learn from them.
Yeah. So. And it's also like loyalties, right?
Yes.
With dog trainers.
That's a whole nother episode. I never even thought about that. Oh, yeah.
So what we mean by loyalties is that if you start doing certain thing with one trainer and you like frenzy friends with them and, you know, you're having good time, you're having beers together and you just feel like you have to keep doing everything with them.
Yeah.
Right?
Otherwise they'll get mad at you or whatever and you have to keep.
Right.
Yeah.
That's a big red flag. Yeah. Because if you are worried that you're going to ruin a relationship between yourself and the trainer just because you are trying all the trainers and all the things.
Or other atmospheres.
That is a red flag.
That trainer you don't want to be with, then they don't care. They just care about the money. They don't care about
They care about
the best
keeping
for your
you
dog.
With them and be friends with you and having these like really weird.
Even though they're teaching something that they don't really have that much experience to teach, just because their dog can do this at a basic level, but they haven't, say, competed in it. I mean, this is more like the higher end stuff or like specific things like the sports or the aggression or things like that. But
I think that's when like your relationship with the trainer goes a little bit more beyond the trainee,
I think as soon
trainer,
as you have a relationship with a trainer, you can't have that person as a trainer anymore. Just straight up.
Yeah.
Like, especially when you pay them. Yeah. If you want to like hang out and they do little mini training sessions for free. Okay, fine. But the fact that you have a relationship and you're still paying this person.
Yeah.
What the hell are you doing? But then on the opposite end of the spectrum of the experience is like everyone starts somewhere. So a lot of people that teach like puppy classes or basic obedience classes, they don't have a lot of experience. They took some, they might have done a little certification and they're working for like a training company or facility. That's fine. That's okay. Everyone starts somewhere. Like you said, I could probably train a basic obedience class based on what I've learned. But you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I have a lack of experience, but I do still know what to do. So don't discredit someone because it's their first class at this new facility. You know what I mean? Doesn't mean they have no experience in this location, but they might have had 10 dogs. But don't only use, I've had 10 dogs. They were all border collies, so I'm very true. No, not really. Just imagine someone having 10 border collies.
Well, I'm also very skeptical over like young trainers.
That's true.
And this might be controversial. Okay.
I'm curious of your thoughts.
But I think someone who's like in the 20s and they're doing dog training.
We're talking about like young 20s, like or like mid 20s, late
20s.
Because late
20s
could be pretty old. Anyway.
What are you saying?
No, I'm just saying. Okay, carry on. A young person.
Yeah, and they claim to be like experts in solving your reactivities and, you know, just fixing your dog and things like that. Like, I'm very skeptical over it because they've just not had that time to build that knowledge and that experience in dog industry and working with dogs to be able to really like help somebody who's really struggling.
But what if they've been like doing it since they were like 16 with their first dog and then 18, they got a job at like a doggy daycare. And then from there, they moved
up. When you're 16 and 18, you just go out drinking.
I didn't.
You just go out drinking, you go out enjoying your life. You go traveling.
You still
know, maybe not in Canada, but
yeah,
like your head is not in the
so
right
place.
So
this is your opinion, though.
That is,
I understand where you're coming from, but we might have some younger listeners that are going to disagree. And you know what? If you disagree with Magda, please let us know. I'm more just want to hear your opinion.
I didn't say I'm discrediting
them. Oh, no, I know. But you're just saying that, like,
I'm a bit skeptical.
But it's no different than anything. It's like someone who has a construction business and they're 23 years old and they've been doing it since they were 16 versus someone who's 50 years old and they've been doing it since they were 16. It is that thing of, like, if you have some young person that started their own business and they're charging this crazy premium price, and it's like, should you be charging that much money?
Yeah, exactly. I feel like the prices of your dog training should really reflect the experience.
Your skill.
Right.
Level,
so if you are just starting out and you are young and stuff, like, obviously your prices are not going to be like bomb high, right? But if you're like experienced and older and you really know your craft and you're the only dog trainer that deals with specific, you know, issue, so the scarcity in the market, then allow yourself to have those higher prices.
And the knowledge, if you come with questions and they don't know how to answer, and they might not know everything off the top of their head, but if they're not willing to find the answer, that's a thing. It's like, or they just make up some story, which they probably could do.
But that's the thing. People go to dog trainers, you know, because they don't charge a lot of money.
That's true.
But if they don't charge a lot of money, then maybe they don't have as much experience, right? So, like, as a dog parent, you really need to do your research.
Well, and figure out what's the best solution for your dog in your situation. And again, puppy classes, basic obedience, it's pretty straightforward. You honestly can learn all of that for free. The only benefit, I think, of doing it in a class is just getting them to listen in a new environment with other dogs around.
Yeah, like being neutral. Yeah.
So I think that's like the biggest thing.
Like socialization.
A lot of those things, you can learn off of the internet. So that's where it's a good place. And that's a good place to do testing, because there are a lot of trainers that might do multiple things. Start with a basic course with them. Goes back to point number two, whatever, about likability. If you didn't really like them, if you didn't really like their methods, well, then you're not going to do the next level. I mean, we had that situation. We did a class and we're like, I don't think we want to do the next class with training people or whatever. And that's fine.
Yeah. Like, no one should make you feel bad. You're allowed to just try different classes, try different trainers, because, you know, I think it's good to dabble.
Yeah.
Dabble around and really see who you click with, especially if it's your first dog and you've never done any training classes.
And you might like the first training, like the place where we went for a lot of Maple stuff. We liked them. We liked them as a training facility. It was great. The only reason we actually went somewhere else is because we couldn't get in a class. They just kept getting booked up. But I'm happy we did. I'm happy we went somewhere, and I'm not saying they were better, but it was just nice for Maple to go somewhere else. Well, and it was a nice change of scenery for us too, to go to a different place, because now we meet new people. We learn about new different things that we wouldn't have if you're stuck in this clique friendship kind of thing where I only do things here. And it's like, that's fine, but there's so much out there that you're missing. And it might might not be good. Like, some of it might be bad, but think of for training. And, you know, a lot of you might just be doing obedience training, and that's fine. Find one place. But if you want to keep training your dog, which you should be doing, and keep doing different things, don't feel bad to reach out, look out there and see what else is out there.
I think it's important also to mention that, you know, you are going to train your dog differently to what someone else might need. So for instance, if you have a sport dog, you're going to train them differently to just a dog who's a pet.
Yeah.
Or you're going to train a service dog different as well. Mm-hmm. Or someone who is a working dog. Not someone.
Yeah, a dog that is a working dog.
Who's a working dog and is meant to guard your property, you're going to train them differently too. So it's important to really have that trainer who has the knowledge, has the experience of dealing with that specific thing that you're looking for.
And on that, it's up to you to understand your dog breed or understand your dog breed group, even if it's a mixed breed. It's to understand that, hey, I have a working dog. So I need to find, so then you know what to look for. Because if you don't know what your dog needs, it's going to be hard to, it's going to be hard to find the trainer. The trainer might know, but you'd have to find them first. So that's up to you. So finding an obedience trainer that has show dogs, that's probably not the best fit for us. But finding an obedience trainer that has sports dogs, that's a good, and I know it's the same skills, but they're used to dealing with dogs that are a little bit more energetic. Where someone has a show dog, like show dogs, they're a little bit more chill and all of that. So it's easier. And that's the difference. It's like cool, we're teaching our dog how to sit, but my dog is just full of energy and is like really excited. You're going to teach that a little bit different than a dog that's just lazy and doesn't even want to like, okay, fine. Well, I'll sit. Oh, you want me to lie down now? You know what I mean? Like, it's that kind of thing though. Yeah. And it's you knowing the type of dog you have. And then that's when you, cause all trainers have bios. They all talk about the type of dogs they have. They talk about what they've done. So that's what we learned. It's like, cool, this person does tricks with their dogs. They do sports with their dogs compared to this person who I just have like doodles that are just pets.
Yeah, I mean, if you are looking for just a dog trainer that can, you know, give you a couple pointers of how to have a pet kind of dog, then that's easier because that dog trainer doesn't need a lot of experience, right?
But we're talking about experience. Yeah.
if you are looking for a dog trainer who needs to teach agility or disc, for instance, you're going to be looking for a dog trainer who has taken their dogs to like those high levels, right? And who has real experience in sports dogs, right?
Well, I mean, that happened with Maple. Like I wanted to do a disc with her. Unfortunately, she's not very motivated with that. So there was a couple places, but we found the facility that has the trainer who was like a national champion. If I'm going to learn a sport, I would love to learn. It doesn't mean you'll have that opportunity, but it doesn't mean they're the best. I'm not going to say that doesn't mean they're the best trainers, but they've done it.
They've done it. They've been there with their dogs, right? Maybe that trainer didn't have dog tallers who are just not motivated.
Well, some of them are. We never practiced playing disc with her. That was our own fault, but it's fine.
Yeah.
We love her for the things she likes to do. So.
But, you know, it's good to like find the best in their craft, the people that have really been there.
And that's the experience. Yeah. That's the experience. So, yeah, I think that's it. Is there any other red flags you want to talk about?
Yeah.
Okay.
There's one.
Okay.
One where, so I'm not sure if we have actually talked about it.
I don't know what you're going to say, so.
Dog trainers who are not very honest and transparent on their website about the techniques that they use to train.
Oh yeah, okay. Well, that's a red flag. That's, okay. I think it's like trustworthiness or I don't know what you call it. But so you wouldn't know that until you worked with them. That's the issue. Because a lot of them don't like say, or they'll just be like, oh, positive reinforcement, but it doesn't mean anything. Like, what does that mean?
Yeah.
So I know what you mean, but a lot of them don't have that on their website. And it's an unfortunate thing that you don't realize until afterwards.
Yeah. And I think they should.
And so that one's hard, but that is a big thing. If they just say
are you being honest on your website?
Or someone that says like, they're a balanced trainer, but they don't say how.
Yeah.
And that's fine. And I'm not saying balance trainers are good or bad.
Yeah.
We're not having that discussion now. But if they're just like, we are a balanced trainer, it's like, well, what does that mean? Yeah. You need to explain
like
how.
Do you still use treats? Yeah. Maybe you don't use treats. Then, okay, if you don't use treats, what type of reward do you use, right? Yeah. I need to understand.
Is it
methods.
Even reward-based? Oh, I hope. If it's not reward-based training, then don't just run away. But you're right. That's a very big one. And I know there's still some of them that don't. Well, if you don't have a website, I'm sorry. That's probably a red flag.
Yeah.
Like they're so cheap to make.
If you don't have a website, if you don't have like social media.
Most of them just have social media and that's what they do. And it's like, have a website. Okay.
Yeah. If you don't have reviews, that's a red flag.
Well, yeah. I mean, some people got it. Well, no, you're right. Because if you don't have reviews, you should be training people for free to get the reviews. That's kind of how it works.
Exactly.
So you're right. If you have no reviews, then you shouldn't be charging people. Yeah. You should be doing like a free course or like, you know, get 10 people to train for free to
leave your reviews
in exchange for a review. So you're right.
I mean, that's, you know, you said, everyone has to start somewhere, right? But like, I think that the starting somewhere is like getting that experience and maybe not charging people straight away because you don't even know if you're going to like being a dog trainer.
That's true.
So like,
you might love training your own dog, but when you got to deal with like a yappy little terrier, you're going to be like, oh my God, I think this
job is not for me anymore.
I don't think it's for me. Be honest.
Yeah.
We love dogs.
That's kind of what I meant with like young trainers, right? Like they don't really, might not even know if they want to do this.
Well, a lot of them that just know, they just love dogs. It's like, I'm going to be a dog trainer.
I mean, I love dogs. Yeah. Would I ever be a dog trainer? No, because I don't have patience for other dogs and I just don't care.
We can give advice, which is what this podcast is about. And this is what we do, even when we meet people in real life or in like, Facebook groups and all that. But will we sit there with your specific dog and work out your specific problems? We could, but will I enjoy it? No.
Yeah.
I just
love my dog and I love training my dog.
And I love just educating people in general. I think and that's the whole reason why we did this.
I think I just want to like influence people to love their dog so much that they want to enjoy training them.
And then, so on that note, just to let you know, we do have a Facebook group and it is literally about that, to kind of help you a little bit with, you know,
Be a responsible dog parent.
About how to be a responsible dog parent. And we have other people in the group that are trainers. Like we have the guests that have been on the show that are in the group that can help you out. And it's just more about just a general community for you all to come. And we can talk about dogs, and it doesn't have to be, I don't like all these groups. It's just like, how do I fix this? How do I fix this? It's like, let's see some fun. What's this cool, fun thing you did with your dog on this like long weekend or whatever country you're in, like a holiday weekend? That's what I want it to be about. It's like, how are you being a responsible, fun dog parent, not just.
So
check out the group.
It will be linked.
It will be linked below for the YouTube actually, and on Spotify and all of that. I don't know if you can click it. Otherwise, you can just search the name in Facebook and find the group. So definitely join it, because we want to help you. And we want you to help other people if you, because that's the thing. We know sport dogs. We don't know, I don't know, whatever.
Like working dogs.
Working dogs. So if you're really good and you know, like our content and you have a lot of experience working dogs, then, you know, same thing. Like it would be great for you to help people. So check out the group.
Also be interesting to find out from you guys, like, what are the red flags to you?
Yeah.
Because I think we can talk about red flags that we have. Yeah.
Or what is a red flag that you learned afterwards? So have you worked with a trainer and you realized they were bad? What were the reasons why you didn't like them? Don't throw people under the bus or something like that. Unless they're like really bad and they like abuse your dog, then let's spam the internet of that. But no, we want to know as well. Let us know in the Q&A on Spotify or the comments below on YouTube, and let us know what are red flags, or what is an experience, a bad, I guess, experience you had with a trainer.
Yeah.
We're not all about negativity on the internet, but it's good to know.
Yeah.
We'll have to have an episode of positive trainers, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you know, these are the red flags. We can probably do a green flag too.
Well, it was just like the crate training one, the positives of crate training and the bad way to do crate training. Yeah. But
I really just want to know, because it's all about perception.
Yes.
And, you know, like, these are our red flags, so don't come at us.
Yeah. Don't be like, I'm a young trainer and I have 100 reviews. It's like, okay, that's fine.
We just
haven't experienced that where we live, or maybe it's just we're not looking for that.
Everyone will have different red flags. These are ours. Mm-hmm. And I mean, we don't agree on everything too. You know, I probably have harsher views than you when it comes to picking a dog trainer or where we want to go and train with our dogs. Yeah. So, and that's okay.
Yeah.
Like, we can all agree to disagree.
Of course. It's not regulated, remember?
Yeah.
There's no rules. Yeah, there's no rules or regulations in anything. There's no rules on what you want or don't want in a dog trainer.
You can go to Bob next door and have them train your dog, and they're going to be the bestest
dogs
ever.
Bob we had on the show, I think, is a really good trainer.
Bob.
Yeah, so don't use him as an example.
I
know.
Bob next door.
No, but Bob, who we talked about a couple weeks ago, he's a good trainer, so... But yes, it's just funny the name you picked.
Okay, John Doe.
Yeah,
okay.
John Doe. We haven't had a John Doe.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's it for this episode. So thanks for watching. Yeah, please let us know below about literally everything we just talked about and what are your thoughts on it. Again, don't forget to join the Facebook group if you haven't already. Same thing, like, subscribe, follow, rate, review, whatever you need to do to get this out there. That's it. Anything else you want to add?
Nope.
Awesome.
I don't.
Cool. We'll see you guys in the next one.
See ya.
Bye for now.
We said it at the same time.